Okay. So right off the bat, at the beginning of the parsha, we start off the story with Avram being with God appearing to Avram, and then while God is talking to Avram, so what happens? Vayisainav, vayar v'nei shloshan Hashem nitzavim alav, vayar atz likratam mipetach ol v'eshtachu aretza. He raises his eyes. He sees three people. He runs to them. And then you get the whole story, right? He invites them in. He offers them food. He makes them an entire egel or an entire animal, and they bake bread. And then you get the whole story. He tells them that they're going to have a baby. Now the Rambam here sets out in his comments in Morna Vuchim and Chelek Bet, Perek Mem Bet, a thesis that takes them through much of the Torah, which is whenever you see a story in Tanakh in which somebody visualizes angels, what does that tell you about the story? Yeah, or a dream, right? Meaning it's not a metaphor, but it's a prophetic dream. Meaning it's a vision. It doesn't happen. It never happened physically. Because the Rambam doesn't believe you can do that. Right? And he says it's in a lot of places. He says it here. He says it in the Bilam story with the talking donkey and the Malach that comes. Right? Consistently, the Rambam believes that whenever you have a story like this, it is a dream. And the Ramban, right here at the beginning of the Parsha, takes up this position of the Rambam and does not like it at all. Let me just get it. One second. It's a very long piece here, so I just need to find the part in the Ramban. And he... One second. Da-da-da-da-da. Right, so he quotes the Rambam, right, that ki kol makom shuzkar bechatuv riat malach o dibur malach hu bimareh o bechalom. Yergeshim lo yesigo malachim. He said, since human beings cannot perceive angels, it must be that these are visions. And he goes through many different examples that the Rambam quotes. But, where is it? Right, so I mentioned right here in Avra and Bilam and by Hagar. Right, but the Ramban himself doesn't. The Ramban himself doesn't accept this. Now, why doesn't he accept this? So he says, "Well, you know, it's a little bit odd, right? Like if you continue here in the story, so what happens?" It's not just that he sees Malachim, right? Malachim, but what happens?
He interacts with them,
he bakes for them, he cooks for them, right? Meaning, it's one thing, it would be like, okay, you know, you have a, you have an angel in the, in your vision telling you something. Okay. He says, that's plausible. But he says, like, one second, I'm just trying, why can't I find this piece? Right, there we go, right, so he says, I should note, right, how does the Rambam get to this? How does the Rambam just read the psukim to get to this point? So the Rambam says that it's basically a klal uprat. That the psukim argue, open, vayira elav Hashem b'ilonei mamre, that God appears to him. Right, it's not God appears to him and then angels appear to him. It's God appears to him, colon, and this is the vision he saw. Right, that's how he reads it. Right, and he says, I'll just go through some of the Ramban's critiques. He says, first of all, why is he baking and cooking? But he said, look, the Rambam says the same thing about even more shocking ones, like Yaakov wrestling with the angel. And Ramban says, I understand. V'lo yadati lama hielot solei al yirecho. Right, back eight. Right? How, if it was just a vision, then how could it be that he's limping when he wakes up? Right? I mean, that seems pretty odd, right? I mean, the Rambam goes pretty far in this, and right in general, the Ramban's problem is that all these things just seem too real, right? You have people doing things, and there are real world repercussions, and therefore it seems very unlikely that this whole thing is a dream, right? Similar by the Malachim of Lot, where again he bakes for them, but also there's the whole story, they're interacting and fleeing with him. I mean, everything seems too much in the real world for this to be the case. So how do you defend the Rambam if you want? Now, it is pretty hard, right? Meaning, now, of course, you could say, well, sometimes the Rambam is more compelling and sometimes it's not, right? You could do it piecemeal and say sometimes it's easier, right? Sometimes, okay, there's a malach, but there isn't so much action going on. There isn't so much real world implications. And sometimes you'll have to say there is, right? And take like a half Rambam stance. But let's say you wanted to defend the Rambam. How do you deal with the problem of the Ramban, which is all these stories feel so real, right? And they sound so real. Yeah.
What's the time in which, walk the earth and then we're worshiped as, God?
Well, I mean, for the Rambam, definitely not. Right? I mean, for them, I'm definitely not, right? Obviously, for the other Rishonim, yes, there were angels around, right? Walking earth, that's exactly what the Rambam is polemicizing against. So how do you deal with it? So I'm not sure there's a great answer, but not surprisingly, the Mefarshim on the Mernevuchim do try to figure it out. I don't really read the Mefarshim too much on the Mernevuchim, but, right, Price drew on it a lot this week when I was adapting the one for Dr. So I actually got to look at the Eifodei and the Shem Tov. And honestly, I'm not sure I understand what they're saying, but it's an interesting, but it opens up interesting possibilities in these stories. So the Eifodei, which is one of the commentaries on the Mernevuchim, and he says, how is this possible? So he said, So in order to do it, what he has to say is, the only way this is going to begin to work, first of all, is if the details in the story mean something, right? Meaning, the Ramban's critique makes a lot of sense if you just think that this is generic, right? Like, the angels came, right? The point of this vision was that Avram would now know that he's having kids. So then why is he baking? Why is he cooking? And why are there three people? Right? So first thing you got to do is say, well, maybe the details mean something. If the details mean something, then maybe it makes sense that there's going to be, right, all this. But here he gets very philosophical and he says, okay, each of the angels represent different modes of perception. So Koach HaMidameh is the Koach of imagination, Koach HaMishutaf, which is the synthesis between action and the intellect or something like that, but Koach HaSichli, which is pure, rationality. And he says, okay, when he talked to the greatest of the angels, what it means is that he was accessing the Koach HaSichli, like pure intellect, pure rationality. Okay, that's his first thing. Ratzalomar shasagasichli tiedveka imo. V'zeo shamar arav zal ha'echad balavaser et sarav v'achusha mishutaf ki hu ha'mevaser ha'secha v'ashem ha'sik v'chushim ha'chitzonim v'achar balavoch etzom v'kuach ha'midameh v'midarko anah v'achibuz manim ha'gashmim v'achar l'rapor et Avram shaya davek v'asaga ha'sichlit v'hu ha'secha. Where he says, it must be that each of these powers, right, relate to the tasks. It's not angels, but how is Avram healed, right, which is the role of one of these angels? Well, that's the highest level, the Koach HaSichli. Why? Because by Avram tapping into like pure intellect, right, that healed his body, right? By sort of surpassing the body, he manages to heal his body. And the angel that destroyed Sodom, right, is the Koach HaMedamez, the Koach of imagination. Why? So the way Rabbi Price takes it is because to totally overturn something, right, to go from one direction all the way to the other requires the ability to imagine that it could be different, right? And therefore, the Koach HaMedamez, the power of imagination, is what is needed, as it were, to destroy stone. Right? Again, I'm not sure I fully understand all of this, but correct. right? So at some point, obviously, this this vision ends, and we hear the real world consequences. But the vision part with the angels is not, right? Meaning that just means that God, what? Right, so there's always the problem with the Rambam, right? Which is when exactly does this, right? When exactly does this end? But this is one direction if you want to defend the Rambam, right? Which is to say, why are there so many details? Well, each of the details has some particular, right? Meaning, again, you don't have to necessarily follow the Ephodes, right? But what he's saying is that if you want to defend against the Ramban's critique, then obviously what you need to do is take details of the metaphor seriously, right? Because if it's just a vision, right, there shouldn't be, right? So the Ramban is right. Why are there baking? Why are there real world implications, right? So you're going to have to do two things. One is say, well, there's so much details because they each mean something. And to solve Kobe's problem, you have to say at some point the vision ends, right? When? I don't know. When the angels stop talking. I don't know, right? But there's something about the vision that talks about reality. All right, Price has an interesting move here, building off of this and a little bit also of the Shem Tov, where he says there's another possibility, which is to say that it's not just that. But as the Ephodei says, right, somehow Avram is healed by tapping into the Koach HaSichli, whatever that means, right? But he argues, right, maybe the reason it's so real is because once you establish, as you know, the Eighth of the Day does, that Nevuah in its highest level is this tapping into pure intellect, and Nevi'im have like a stronger attachment to that, and that's why, right, tapping into the intellect could somehow heal Avram's body, whatever that means. So maybe the reason that these stories seem so physical and so real is specifically what it's telling you is that this is the reality of a Nevi, right? That for us, for the average person, the physical world is more real, right? And the world of ideas is less real. But maybe that's not true for a Navi. Maybe the whole point is that a Navi who's so tapped in to the world of the intellect, when he has these visions, they are actually realer than what he experiences in this world, right? Because the truth of God and what God is conveying to him is actually more real. And therefore, for us, maybe it's like, well, that's not real. It was in a vision. But maybe that's because we're limited to the physical world. But at some level, maybe what's behind this is that, right, we say, well, there can't be real world implications to visions, but maybe that's not true, right? Maybe for a prophet, right, where the world of his connection to God and understanding of God is actually stronger in some sense than his perception of the physical reality, right? There can be those consequences. Look, I'm not sure that either of those are sufficient to solve the problem, but it's at least worth realizing because this Parshanut issue really does carry through the Torah, where consistently you have the Ramban saying, no, this is real, and the Rambam saying it's visions, which obviously gets very hard, but you need to do something like this, right? Which is either talk about details in it or talk about the nature of reality and the nature of experience and play with it and, you know, and maybe think about it in ways that we don't normally. I think that those directions definitely are necessary, even if I can't claim that I fully understand it arasof. But I do think that those are at least the beginnings of how to understand these two different, I was about to say visions, but pardon that, right? Pardon that pun, right? Those visions of how you take these angelic stories in Chumash.